Hosting today, Lisa Drew.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on.
Good morning to you and happy Monday. Jennifer Campbell does have her country boots on this morning. She's in Nashville. And we are going to be checking in with Jennifer from the Jennifer Campbell Show in just a little bit to find out what is she doing in Nashville, who is she hanging out with this week, and what is up with that huge awards show in the States right now. We're talking about a lot of different things this morning. If you tuned in bright and early on the 570 News Morning News, you heard about a flight that was leaving our end of town to get you into the GTA in a lot faster mode possible than driving down the 401, especially the last few weeks on the 401. Our Jeff Pickle took part in that very first flight. We'll be checking in with him in really just a moment to find out. Was it a bit of a bumpy ride for our Jeff Pickle? I'm thinking it might have been. Cambridge, if you're in Cambridge, start raking those leaves fast to the curb, even though the leaves have not fallen from the trees yet. I saw a tweet or two on that yesterday, and I looked up. My trees are still covered. Nothing much has dropped, but leaf pickup getting underway if you're in Cambridge this morning as well. And we're looking forward to, I'm pretty sure I heard John Wilson say flurries by the end of the week, real ones, not just a little smattering, but we could actually see some snow here. So good morning. Welcome to Monday. I'm Lisa Drew, filling in for the Jennifer Campbell Show. And we've been, hearing about his big flight this morning. Our Jeff Pickle, 570's morning reporter, is joining me now in Toronto. Normally, you're on the streets of Waterloo Region. Jeff, what are you doing in Toronto right now?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just finished up a tour of Billy Bishop Airport. Yeah, but how did I get to Billy Bishop Airport? It's probably the more important question. I was on that first ever flight from the region of Waterloo International Airport to Billy Bishop. That 18-minute flight, the very first one, as we mentioned, starting service today. That's running all five, Monday through Friday. It'll be a flight to and from Toronto. Giving commuters, I guess, an extra option if they're looking to avoid some of that 401 traffic.
So let's talk about size, because size matters. When you're a very tall guy and you got into this plane that I didn't expect it to be that small, now that I'm seeing some of your video footage on Twitter. Do you want to describe what the plane is like and how your ride went?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a very big plane at all. It's eight passengers on board, rather, and obviously the two pilots up front. So it's not a big flight, but really, to be honest with you, the size wasn't that big of a problem. There was enough leg room if you've been on any of those kind of cheaper discount airline flights before. It's not too dissimilar to that. So it wasn't bad as far as leg room went. I was actually kind of surprised. I was also on with Greg Mercer from The Record was on, who's also a very tall gentleman. And him and I were both saying that it was kind of surprising actually how much leg room there was. So, it is a small plane, but certainly enough room that, if you're in the upper half of being 6'6" or so, then you'll still be, you can fly pretty comfortably on this flight.
So did it time out to 18 minutes exactly, or what did it feel like?
I didn't put the exact stopwatch on. I heard someone on the plane say 20 minutes, so it might have been a 20-minute flight. Might have been 18 minutes, I'm not exactly sure, but it was quick. Whatever it was, it couldn't have been any much longer than 20 minutes. So yeah, definitely a quick flight. You're up in the air, then you kind of have a little chat with the person beside you, and you're touching down just like that.
For anybody who lives in Waterloo Region, and we know what it's like traveling the 401 to get to Toronto, but even just getting from our region, wherever you are, whether it's Kitchener, Waterloo, or Cambridge, out to the 401, I'm guessing that would take more than 18 minutes itself.
Yeah, I think you're right. We were kind of saying that, kind of guessing, where would we be along the 401 if we were driving? Even now, I don't think if we had a left at the same time that flight took off and then I got a tour of the airport and had to walk around here a little bit, I still think I'd likely still be in traffic somewhere along that route. So, no, definitely. And it's kind of cool because you fly right above the 401 as well. So for a good portion of the trip, so you can kind of look down at the people, the suckers driving on the
They're
road,
really rubbing it in, eh?
Yeah, kind of laugh as they... they go through the stop and go, and you're soaring above them. So it was pretty cool. That's another thing about it is visually, it's pretty cool to see, because it is a smaller plane. It flies at a lower altitude than, the big jet airliner, so you actually get to see a lot of the landscape. You get to see as you approach the lake and, you know, all the different geographical elements of the area. It's a cool visual flight as well.
So I know you were traveling with a lot of other media types, but was there an actual traveling business person on board or an elected official? Who else was on with you, and what was their take?
Yeah, there was a the CEO of the Ports Authorities who was on. It was kind of giving us a tour, but there was a, as you would say, a real genuine business traveler on this very first flight. Now he was all the way up at the front of the craft, and I was all the way at the back. So even though I could almost reach out and touch him, but I kind of heard him saying that he comes to Toronto, you know, maybe three times a week, and thinking that, you know, this is definitely what he heard about this option to go on to fly rather than drive. He jumped all over it. So he was on that first flight, and he's going to be flying home tomorrow. And says he loves it. He's going to be probably doing it, you know, as he mentioned, three times a week if that's what will if that's what he needs to do. He certainly won't hesitate. He said to kind of jump on that flight.
Well, and then what they say, time is money, right? For some people in the business
exactly,
world.
Now, exactly.
Are they also envisioning? Is this something? If you wanted to, you know, if my husband wanted to plan the most romantic anniversary gift and fly me to Toronto for the weekend and book an extravagant stay somewhere, you know, people would use this as maybe a special events idea as well, or to check out a sporting event.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things they certainly said, you know, if you did want to spend maybe a lavish weekend in the big city, you could certainly use it. One of the things they're kind of more marketing towards is that there are a lot of connecting flights out of Porter, or out of Billy Bishop Airline, rather. So, you know, people, you know, not just for, you know, the business traveler coming to Toronto for a meeting, there's a lot of connecting flights all over Canada and the United States. So they're really building it up that, you know, it is a flight to Toronto, but from Billy Bishop, you can definitely connect a lot of other places. So they're kind of marketing towards that as well, not just the, you know, the business traveler, but also the other travelers who may need to connect to another city who don't want to, you know, you don't want to drive in and park your car for a week in Toronto and pay that money. You know, you don't want to sit in a hotel the night before. Why not just fly in the morning, get a connecting flight? And this is, you know, a smaller airport here. Billy Bishop Airport. So really, you can fly in, and your connecting flight, if it's, you know, a half an hour, is all you really need to jump on that next one and fly out. So that's another kind of big, I guess, selling point they're trying to push across, that, you know, don't buy the hotel the night before. Don't pay for the week of parking your car in a big lot in Toronto. Just jump on this flight and save yourself a little bit of time and money.
Did you love that you were reenacting Planes, Trains, and Automobiles today?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, so I've done the two. I've done the I had the car ride over the airport, and obviously the plane to Toronto, and then in about an hour or so, I'm going to be connecting a train back to Waterloo. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I fancy myself the kind of Steve Martin type, but certainly in channeling some inner John Candy and Steve Martin there today. So that's been fun. I will say, though, Lisa, however, that if you're getting on the flight, try to sit at the front. Certainly works better. Like, apparently, the front of the plane a little less bumpy. I was at the back, and you know, it is a smaller aircraft, and it is a kind of windy day, so there's going to be a little more turbulence than, again, with a big aircraft. But when I was sitting at the back, and I get kind of motion sickness in general, I was, you know.
Were you looking for the little bag in the back of the seat?
I took a brief look for it. Didn't quite need it, but it's not the not maybe as smooth as some of the other, you know, again, larger planes flights. There's a little bit of chop to it, so just be prepared for that. And if you can get to a seat of your choice, jump up to the front. Mm-hmm. The back is a little bit bouncier back then.
So I saw the footage, and I thought you were trying to be like the cool kid on the school bus and go to the back.
I was thinking again about the legroom thing. I think I'll go to the back for the better legroom, which really I didn't need, because as you mentioned, the other tall individual on the flight was there at the front. He had no problem up there, and I was looking around. The other, you know, seven people on the flight had zero problems whatsoever. It's just because I was just at the very back, and as I mentioned, I do have kind of a weak stomach for flying, that I felt a little bit, a little under the weather for a bit, but, you know, the other seven passengers seemed to get along pretty good. I think it was just me in the sense.
Well, that was good of you to, share that. So on a scale of 1 to 10, give us a rating before you go.
I mean, I don't know. You know, it's tough to say. You know, certainly if you have the money to do it, why not? And, you know, if it's something you need, like, last minute, if all of a sudden you have to realize you need to be in Toronto last minute, certainly probably worth it to give it a rating. You know, it was quick. It was as advertised. You know, the only downfall I saw at all was the fact that I did get a little motion sickness up there. So I'll say it was an 8. We're going to give it out of 10. It was an 8 out of 10 for me. But I imagine the rest of people on the flight probably put it more at a 9 or a little bit higher than I did.
So you're glad you're taking the train back. And now, yeah, if we had the gravel for you, it would have been better.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it is as advertised. It's super quick. That's the one thing. You know, if you are feeling a little sick, it's okay because it's over before you know it. So it's not too bad.
All right. Jeff Pickle, live this morning at Billy Bishop Airport in Toronto. Have a wonderful journey home, and we can't wait to catch up with you tomorrow morning.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Take care, Jeff. Thank you very much. I'm Lisa Drew, filling in for the Jennifer Campbell Show, and Jennifer Campbell is going to join us right after this break.
Put the smart in your smartphone. Download the 570 News app and stay informed. 570 News.
Almost 9:19 on a Monday morning. Good morning. Lisa Drew filling in for the Jennifer Campbell Show. And you'll never guess who I have on the phone right now from Nashville. Jennifer Campbell from the Jennifer Campbell Show. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I've seen a lot of pictures of some amazing walls of country boots going on. You're having a great time already.
Well, we are. Yeah, the great time is over because we are we're set to do probably what will be about 90 interviews over the next 48 hours on Radio Row from Music City Center. Awards are obviously on Wednesday, but the cool thing about this award show, which is the longest running award show in country music, it's kind of the Oscars of country music, is that for 2 days leading up to the awards, they bring all these artists through this amazing setup where, you know, you've got media from all over the world waiting to talk to them. And then you, you do some interviews with these artists who are going to have some big nights and some big hardware coming home with them on Wednesday.
You really are living the dream. By the way, I mean, we just assume everybody knows that you're one of us here at 570 News. But you also do a pretty amazing morning show, Mornings with Campbell and PJ on Country 106.7, our sister station right down the hallway, really just a jump away. And this is one of the great gigs that you have secured almost annually now for how many years?
I think this is our fifth year.
Wow.
This is our fifth year at the CMAs. Yeah. So you're right. I mean, it is, it's my passion. It's where I started, and 22 years of country radio and only about 2 of talk. So I'm still making sure that I'm going to be, you know, allowed to continue at 570.
Oh, I think you will, Jen.
The country thing is pretty solid. Yeah, it's great.
One of the great things when I talked to you this time last year was Beyonce kind of just popped out of nowhere. Now, she's got baby twins this year. I'm guessing she's not going to be part of this country music crowd this year.
No, we don't think that Beyonce will be one of those crossover artists that joins us. Frankly, the security cost last year probably blew the budget. But we do have Pink joining us this year, and I imagine we'll see some surprise guests as well. You never really know who's going to show up here. And as the lines continue to kind of cross, we've got a lot of, crossover hits and artists who want to be involved. Of course, we saw Justin Timberlake in a performance that probably will never be forgotten 2 years ago with Chris Stapleton at the CMAs. I mean, if you want to have a 7-minute boost this morning, just give that a quick YouTube Google, and you'll see. I mean, we say in country music, a good song is a good song is a good song, and artists recognize that. And, they have a history of crossover music from, you know, as recently as Shania Twain and Faith Hill to, Crystal Gayle and people like that from years ago.
Does it always kind of feel, though, that they're trying to cash in on the country music success or they're on their big night?
You know, there's not that attitude here. It's funny. This is the only format. People often say to me, tell me who's the most, you know, the worst artist you ever had to deal with. And I honestly just, I don't have any stories like that. They're very, very down-to-earth stars. They're very kind and gracious. there's a big difference. I think Nicole Kidman talks about it a lot, you know, between a Hollywood attitude and a Nashville attitude. She comes, of course, she's married to Keith Urban, who's one of our biggest A celebrities in country music. She talks about, you know, wandering and going to the grocery store in Nashville. It's just, it's a big family, and they're all very welcoming, whether it's to media or to other artists. They have a big Southern spirit about them, and it's not a put on.
You mentioned dealing with the media. The CMA award show people quickly reversed a decision late last week about really trying to quiet the media from asking certain questions regarding a terrible event that just recently happened with that big country music show in Vegas.
Yeah, it was interesting. So they came out and you know, it was a large memo that we all received that said, you know, no asking about political ties, gun control, or, you know, things like that. And quickly, Brad Paisley, who's doing his hosting duties here with Carrie Underwood for the 10th year at the CMA Awards, said the CMA needs to revoke this, and quickly. And the reasons why are because of just what Brad talked about. This music, this format has always been about the truth. We have another saying in country music, three chords and the truth. It's always talked about heartbreaking things, you know, drinking and cheating and dying. And somebody once said, when will you guys stop writing songs like that? And one of the artists said, well, when people stop doing things like that. This is a sincere format. It's about stories. It's about authenticity. And quickly, Brad said, you know, don't do this. The media we need to talk about this. This is what part of the problem is. And other artists, Maren Morris, Cam, quickly backed him up. And to their credit, they reversed it, and they reversed it quickly. I think they were probably trying to protect their artists a little bit, to bring some lightness to this. You know, it's been a rough month for country music after Vegas. It's been a terrible 48 hours again with Texas. And I think that they recognize that that they want to talk about this, that nothing should be off the table.
Who do you think we are going to be talking about later this week? Is there one brand new young star that's just going to sweep it? Or are we going to see, you know, the Blake Shelton's up there again and Garth Brooks is going to pop back up? Or, you know, who's going to be the real star of the show this year?
Well, I mean, when Garth Brooks is nominated for something, as he is Entertainer of the Year, it's a tough go for the rest of those artists who are against him, Luke Bryan, Eric Church, Chris Stapleton, and Keith Urban. I think that, again, Maren Morris is just, there's no such thing as an overnight success, but Maren Morris is a force right now. And we'll be watching for her as well for new artists. I'm really hoping it's going to be Lauren Elena. She is just a bundle of energy, and she's so fun to be around. And if you follow her on social media,
she's
just a hoot, and she really, really loves the format, and she's the only female nominated for New Artist of the Year. So you know that I'm kind of rooting for her. And she was just in Kitchener with us a couple weeks back with Dallas Smith. So we definitely have a big soft spot for Lauren Elena.
Any Canadians that Shania Twain pops up from time to time, but any Canadians are on the bill there?
You know what? We have High Valley coming through tomorrow, which is an amazing, amazing story of two brothers, Canadian brothers from Alberta. I mean, I think they were so far north in Alberta. I mean, they had never really even watched television. They are from a Mennonite background, and music was their thing. And they'll be here tomorrow talking to us. Big push for them in Nashville right now when it comes to Canadian artists. So, of course, rooting for those guys as well. And we've had them in Kitchener, too. Country 106.7 has done some great shows with them. And, again, they're just wonderful and fun to be around. And their music, again, has got – you can hear the Canadian in their music. You really can. So if you're looking for, you know, maybe a good new act to listen to or something new to listen to, High Valley is definitely a recommendation that I would give you.
Taylor Swift. Is she going to be there?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. She's been very, very quiet. Of course, she made a public kind of announcement that she wasn't, you know, a country singer anymore a couple years ago. There's no ill will or bad blood here. I mean, haha, bad blood, get it? That's a
good song. I got it. Took me a minute.
I think that they would welcome her back. I think if she showed up, people would be happy to see her. I just don't know if that's something that we'll see happen. But you know what? Again, Beyonce came last year. So yeah. I could be eating my cowboy boots tomorrow morning.
Are you not coming home with a new pair?
Oh, likely, yes. Probably. I am. it's hard to, this is kind of my second home. I mean, I've been to Nashville on and off over the past 21 years, you know, doing country radio about 15 or 20 times. So it's like coming home here, and they certainly have some good shopping. So, I just promise I won't use the company credit card.
I was at the Royal in Toronto yesterday, and I have some big envy for those glittery rhinestone belts that all the show competitors were wearing. And I'm like, wow. So come home with something like that.
I just want to tell you, Dolly Parton, when I interviewed her a couple years ago, had one of the best quotes ever. She says, it costs a lot of money to look this cheap. So you know what I mean? You gotta bedazzle it. You like the glitter in country music.
I love the glitter in country music. What's your favorite technique to get a big star to chat with you a little bit longer? How do you ask a question they haven't heard 100 times down that line?
You know, it's funny. I don't have a go-to list of questions. The nice thing is we kind of have relationships. We're lucky that a lot of these artists know us now. And we really do just kind of catch up with them and talk a little bit. We talk about the awards show, but you're right. It's important, I think, that the artist enjoys the interview. And we do too. So asking, you know, a question that you know that somebody else is going to ask is kind of the anti-way I interview. I just like to have a conversation with them. I have a great conversation with Trisha Yearwood about her cookbook and her mom because I use her cookbook. So just being real and hanging out for, you know, the 5 minutes that we get with them and talking about family and kids and the music and they're really happy to answer questions. We might play a little, what's that game called Ellen does? I Have, I Have Never. We're going to play that.
I'm sure we will be checking in with you further at here at 570 News for the week. Have a wonderful week, Jen. Enjoy Nashville, and we'll get you back on the air next week.
Listen, thanks so much, Lisa, for filling in, and to Jeff Pickle, too. You guys are just so great to let me go and kind of follow this awesome dream. So thank you so much for covering the little tiny shoes.
Some great boots, and say hi to Blake Shelton for me.
I will do that. Thanks so much.
Take care, Jen. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show. We'll break for the news, and we'll be right back.
570 News brings you airborne traffic reports for your morning and afternoon commute with Daryl Dahmer on 570 News.
Welcome back. It is 9:34 on a Monday morning. Still a little overcast. I was hoping for a little bit of sunshine. John Wilson says hang in there, maybe by about noon. And he did say that flurry word for later this week. Can you believe it? The leaves have not even come off my trees, and I have a lot of trees. I have a lot of raking to do at some point, but it might be in the spring at this point as Cambridge goes around and collects leaves. I'm Lisa Drew filling in. Jennifer Campbell was just on with me a few minutes ago. She is in Nashville this week, so Jeff Pickle will be taking over for the next 4 days. I'm helping out this morning because we flew Jeff down to Toronto with the new Fly GTA service. Jen's been doing a really great job since mid-October about talking about incredible women in our community, women that rock this community, that, you know, make our lives better. And you might not even realize they're doing it day to day. And sometimes we need to throw a really big splashy award show like the Rogers KW Oktoberfest Women of the Year event to really put the spotlight on them. But we should be doing a better job of that year round. So I'm thrilled that I have a guest in studio, Tracy Shonk Lacey, who is the recipient of the Community Service Award just a month ago at that big Oktoberfest event. And Tracy, thank you for joining me in studio this morning as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. And when you sat down and said, I can't wait to learn a little more. And I also asked you about volunteering, but you picked up this incredible community award. So let's talk about what this award means and talk about what you're doing in the community and how we can probably all get a little more involved.
Sure. So volunteerism has been part of my life since I was like 10 years old, and primarily with this organization called CISV, which does Children's International Summer Villages, is what the letters indicate. And it's a youth organization, and we educate and inspire for a more just and peaceful world. And one of the prime philosophies of CISV is that everyone can make a difference, whether it's in their own community or on a global scale. So my activism has been here, helping run our local chapter on all different levels as a youth delegate and as an adult leader and as a chapter chair and Now I'm organizing a major convention we're having next weekend to celebrate the 60th anniversary of CISV here in Waterloo.
So we're going to have a lot of extra people in town.
We are. We have people coming from all across Canada. We have chapters in 11 different major cities from coast to coast. So at our big event, which is a celebration, we're about going to have about 180 people from all the years of CISV coming together to celebrate.
So what drew you to, as we used to know it, as Children's International Villages? Now they've got a new proper name that we really should be identifying with, CISV.
That's right.
What connected you in the first place, and how far back do you go with this group?
So I go back to when I was 11 years old. So the cornerstone program of CISV is an international village program where they bring 11-year-olds from different countries together into a summer camp atmosphere. So I was a delegate when I was 11. Interestingly, I went to Ottawa, Canada that year. We do tend to travel globally.
That always happens, doesn't it?
That's right.
Stay in Canada.
But the experience is really the same because the youth are coming from all over the world. So I happen to be a local, you know, from Canada, but everyone else came from various countries. It really fascinated me. What I said at the Women of a Year event is what I liked is that you have deeper conversations. There's deeper topics that you discuss at CISV, not worrying about sort of those high school dramas and preschool, public school dramas. You're talking about real issues, women's issues, human rights, and that has always been a fascination for me. And as I went through the program, I then wanted to make sure it stayed alive for my own children who have all traveled with CISV and work locally volunteering.
I'm really impressed that you connected so young, where I might have been in Brownies and Girl Guides. You were really doing something in a bigger scale worldwide.
That's right. The philosophy of CISV was it was started by a child psychologist in 1957, and her thoughts was coming off the major world wars, she wanted to do something to make a difference. She did a lot of research and decided that 11-year-old children are the right age to be open-minded. They haven't gained some of the prejudice. They're not too caught up in love and relationships. They're really ready to come together and just talk and learn and discover. So she built these programs around the 11-year-old brain, really, and the way you develop. And then these kids started coming home from these villages and saying, this can't be it. I want to learn more. I want to do this again. So we've now developed with programs that go all the way to like senior citizens. We run programs called International People Projects that adults can do, and you go and parachute into a country, and there's a project organized locally. There's one for homelessness in Canada this year, and you're a volunteer boots on the ground working on those projects.
Can you build on that further and explain to me what that will look like in here? You know, what are some local students doing right now?
So our local students primarily run what we call our junior branch. So they organize monthly activities that are fun but educational. So there's often themes to them, and they also work with like-minded organizations. So in the last year, we've packed food for the food bank. We've planted trees up in Waterloo. We've volunteered for the coldest night of the year. So it's a great opportunity to give back to your local community while being with your CISV friends that you really enjoy and have a lot of fun with. And it's a great organization where parents and youth can volunteer together, because it's often hard to find time with your teens, things that interest you both. But a lot of families come out and, you know, volunteer at the coldest night of the year with their youth who've helped arrange it, but the parents come out and are an extra body to help out in these situations.
And it's always great when you can get a teen want to hang out with the parents.
Absolutely.
Eh? Imagine that.
Absolutely. I've got all three of my children that are coming out to the big event this weekend, and they're really excited. So,
how can someone get involved? I ask you about volunteers, and you say, yes, yes, yes.
We will always take volunteers. The best place to learn about us is on our website. So it's www.cisvwaterloo.org. Information about all our programs, both locally and internationally, and you can always learn more. Next week, we have what we call an information night. So we do just open it up to the community to pop in and learn. So that's on November 15th between 7 and 9 at JF Carmichael School. And again, those details are on the website. But anyone who just wanted to learn more about CISV or volunteering could come out and meet with us.
And you're saying ages 11 right up to seniors.
10. You have to be 10 to be covered by our insurance. And then it's primarily our youth. But then once you get into adults, you can be leaders and some of these other more unique programs that we do have for seniors as well.
So really, we're building future leaders in our community.
That's absolutely what I believe. We have some CISVers here who've gone on to some great things, working in Africa, helping youth there. You know, we have CISVers working in the government in Denmark that we've heard about. So we really like to try and track. It does change your perspective on the world when you know people who live there. It's not a foreign concept. It's a friend's face that you see when you hear good news or bad news out of a country. And that helps the youth really feel it and have that empathy and compassion that we want them to have.
I'm in the news business, and we have been talking about some pretty terrible stories that have been happening around the world this year.
Yeah.
Tell us some good news stories about you and your travels in other parts of the world.
So I really was excited that one of our local adult members went to Lebanon this year, and she was part of our International People's Project and worked with some marginalized adults over there, giving them opportunities. We sent two senior, wonderful women down to Brazil, and they helped work with children, teaching them how to cook healthy meals. That was part of the program they ran. And just our local work here that we're doing as well with all those like-minded organizations, we're constantly reaching out to try and make other connections. So any organizations that feel they could benefit from youth helping them that are like-minded, we'd love them to reach out to us as well to give our youth more opportunity to impact. A really fascinating program that we also run is called the Peace Bus, and we put youth on a giant stinky bus from one coast of the country to the other. Well, when you put 11, 15, 16, 17 year olds in one vehicle, but they start on the West Coast and they drive all the way to the East, and they stop at all our chapter cities and do local work at each area. They get off the bus and another crew goes the other way across Canada every summer. And it's really great. When the bus rolls in, we're always trying to find a work project for them to do. Sometimes we just have them volunteering at our own camps because we do host international camps here. We did one 2 years ago, and we're doing it again in 2019. And that's when we really need volunteers, because we have these kids flying in from all around the world. They need homestays, before and after camp. We cook them meals. We need the local community to really gather around.
You mentioned one of the big Canadian projects this year was dealing with homelessness,
yep.
Something our community is struggling with quite a bit as we try to find affordable housing for people and get people safely off the streets and getting the care that they need. What is this project about for you?
So this one is going, it's in a different chapter of Canada, so I don't know as many details, but what I like about CISV is that instead of being distant and trying to solve the problems sort of intellectually, they have the local people looking at what the problem means in their community and solving it in their community or finding solutions that will work. And then you come in as a volunteer with them having already spoken with the people going through these challenges. And that's something I learned in CISV. So many times we think we know better and we'll tell you how to make your life better without stopping and asking you what it is that you need. And then we as CISV try to be responsive to provide that if we're able.
You got this lovely award, and I'm glad the spotlight it was shining on you just a month ago. Where can you take that award from now? It's giving you more of a platform to share the work that you're doing.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, we've always said CISV is the best kept secret of our region. It started here in Waterloo in all of Canada. So 60 years it's been around, and probably most people don't know about it. But anyone that does goes, oh my goodness, I love CISV. So I love that I can spread the word. I also hope to inspire my own daughters and son. And I said that in my speech. I want my son to want to be with a woman who's independent and who's driven, and to empower her to be the best person she can be. My three children didn't forgive me for not saying their names in my speech.
Okay, let's recreate the speech.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So my son, Mitchell Lacey, and my two daughters, Brenna Lacey and Taryn Lacey. That was the only error I made, apparently. So they wanted to be mentioned by name, but it is, and that's part of what CISV's taught me is that, and that's why I'm so passionate, because I want them, and it's been so cool. My daughter, my son went to Austria with CISV. That was his first program. My daughter went to Colombia, which many people were like, I can't believe you're sending your 11-year-old to Colombia. Fabulous experience. What she was exposed to in terms of the different social classes was really powerful. And then my youngest daughter went to Japan with CISV.
Wow.
So for me, that was hard. That was a bit far. But she had a great experience as well.
So, I mean, it's helping you grow as a mom too,
absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely. It's, you know, people say, I can't believe you let them do it. But I know that they're getting so much more than my discomfort for a month when they're gone is I obviously miss them. But I know that they're going to come back enriched. And each of them for sure have come back a different person. My parents say that about me, that I came back as a different person, and our conversations around our dinner table have absolutely changed to just world issues. Something happens and they're like, oh, I wonder if my friends are okay. And with social media now, they're on Instagram. They're able to say, oh, this is how it impacted my friend in the Philippines when this happened. And I love the way the world shrinks.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Congratulations on your Rogers KW Oktoberfest Women of the Year Award. Tracy Shonk Lacey, and thank you for thanking your children. Glad to have you in this morning.
Thank you very much, Lisa. I appreciate the time.
You're welcome. This is a Jennifer Campbell Show. We'll be right back.
John Wilson's Weather Guarantee. Weekdays at 7:11. Only on 570 News.
9:48, Monday morning. Good morning to you. How are you doing with the time change? Did you remember to fall back over the weekend? We're already looking ahead. We are looking way ahead to 2018. We're going to rush you through the Christmas season, tell you some great things going on. If you want to get the kids out or give a great gift of musical theater in our community. My next guest has some really great ideas of what you could be doing to spend your time into 2018. On the line with us right now is the artistic director with Drayton Entertainment, Alex Moustakas. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
Well, happy Monday. How are you doing with the time change?
Oh, I'm fine. You know, I'm usually in a dark theater anyway, so I never know what time.
Well, I love that we're already talking ahead to 2018, even the Christmas holiday season. You want to jump right in and tell me what you have planned? You are busy.
Well, we've got an exciting 2018 season. We're not even finished this one. Obviously, we closed Rock of Ages here the last night, and Death of a Salesman in St. Jacobs had its closing performance. And now we're on to Disney's Beauty and the Beast for the holiday season here in Cambridge, which is looking to be a sold-out run, which
you know,
is very exciting.
When this comes up at 4 a.m. in the newsroom, Casey McDonald and I were talking about, she goes, did you get any tickets for that? I'm hearing it's sold out. Do we have any chance of getting tickets?
We actually have extended. We had an initial five-week run, and now we've added a week between Christmas and New Year, so there are still some seats available because we want everyone to see it. But it's Disney, you know, and it's probably their most popular production, or the best production they ever did was Beauty and the Beast. So we're excited about it, and really we're going to entertain thousands of families, which I'm really happy about.
It's a great season to be in the theater with you.
It is, and we've got a great eclectic mix moving into next year with some wonderful shows, some big name Broadway musicals, some Canadian comedies, some classic theater as well, and some new stuff too. One of the holiday show we're having next year is Holiday Inn, which is a brand new Irving Berlin musical based on all his music, and we're very excited about that. We have kind of the Canadian premiere of that one as well, because it just was on Broadway last Christmas. So we're thrilled, and we're creating a new show for our friendly Mountie, Neil Aitchison.
I was going to ask you about him.
Yeah, called Canada 151. better late than sorry, we're calling it. And so we're excited about that as well. He's very popular, as you know.
He's a bit of a diva on stage.
Oh,
I know he's listening, so I can say that.
All he has to do is remember his lines, and I'm good to go.
And does he have a few costume changes, a few wig changes?
Oh, they probably will be something, I'm sure. But we're excited about it, and this will be, I think, the fourth or fifth show we're doing for him. A Canadian Looney, Canadian Toonie, Canadian Legends, and of course, Sorry I'm Canadian. So this is just another one of those, and we're calling it the first final farewell tour.
Well, I love a man in a uniform, especially when we get Neil Aitchison dressed up.
Exactly. So,
2018 is a growth year for you. I mean, you're always growing, but I'm guessing you probably have some neat announcements coming up, or any other big plans for 2018?
Yeah, well, I mean, the big thing this year is our Dunfield Theatre Cambridge location is going to have a name change by the because of the generous support of the Hamilton family. So we're excited about that. It'll be called the Hamilton Family Theatre Cambridge. And we're also looking at some, moving into the fall with some programming as well. It's just a great eclectic mix. There's something for everyone, really, from popular family pantos to Disney with Little Mermaid, classic shows like Man of La Mancha. And I've decided I'm going to get back on stage after a number of years to play Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha in the fall, and I'm nervous about it. But you know what? This show was the reason I got into theater over 40 years ago. I was a student at Eastwood Collegiate, and we were sent to the O'Keeffe Center to see Richard Kiley in Man of La Mancha, and I was never so moved by the power of the text and music, and there were grown men around me crying, and I thought, boy, I'd like to do this someday, and here I am that many years later, actually going to produce it, but also be in it as well, and so we'll see. Maybe that'll be a reason for me to get out of theater. I don't know. stuff.
Wow. And I mentioned, when you say O'Keefe Center, that took me back to my years as a child going to the theater with my grandparents and going to see dance. Right. What does it, you mentioned you're a bit nervous to get back on stage, but it's good to keep, you know, your whistle wet. It keeps you motivated and envision. It probably sparks new things as well.
Absolutely. In the early days, I used to do at least one show a year, and then it got too big, obviously. And it just kind of reminds me, to be in tune with the audience and with the actual physical space of the theater, and also the fact that I can kind of still do it, which is great, and reminds me why I work so hard as well, and how important theater is to our community.
And it is important. I mean, we've talked before about the economic benefits. Just the spinoff I've seen even in the Galt area of Cambridge over the last few years is so impressive.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it was immediate. As soon as the theater opened, that first year, I think we had over 100,000 people go through this facility here in Cambridge. And, the restaurants told us right away. People were booking meals and hotels, and they were shopping. Not only do we have a cultural impact, but definitely an economic impact as well.
And you have a lot of construction going on right beside you with this new Gaslight District.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's really going to be a hub of activity here, and kind of very artistic as well. So we're excited for that project to get started, and we're going to be great partners, I think.
One of the things I love when I go to the theater, as I jokingly say with my younger son, I've taken my radio sister Tara, and we've gone to see you at the Dunfield, which will be our new Hamilton Family Theater.
Yes.
When you get your kids in young, and we jokingly say we're going to the theater, but it doesn't have to be a big stuffy. This can be loose. It can be fun. You don't have to put on that three-piece suit. For someone who really hasn't experienced this yet in our community, sell it to them.
Well, absolutely. That's why even the theater here in Cambridge was designed with a lot of glass, in the lobby, so people can, driving by can see activity and see things happening and see that people are just in their, jeans and T-shirts. And, it's a great mix. If you want to be entertained, you can be entertained. 2 hours of laughter. You want some great music to be inspired. And sometimes we throw in the odd drama, like Death of a Salesman that we just did with George Wendt from Cheers. And it's just a great night out. I think the biggest challenge is getting people in the first time. But once you get in, I think you're hooked by that. There's nothing like the live experience and also experiencing it communally with 500 other people in the room. There really is nothing like it.
And it doesn't feel like there's 500 in the room. It feels very intimate.
It is. I've been very big on all our venues having an intimate experience. The St. Jacob's Country Playhouse, for example, the furthest seat in the orchestra section is about 45 feet from the stage. And you tend to follow the actor's journey a little bit more, I think, than some of the really big houses.
I heard an ad this morning for Honk.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's
on 570 News.
It's a retelling of The Ugly Duckling. I saw it in Boston years ago. And in fact, it actually beat The Lion King out for best musical in London's West End when it first came out. It is so clever. And I think families will absolutely love this show.
Well, all the best to you this holiday season, and a happy 2018. I know we'll be talking before then. I hope to see you at the theater.
You at the theater.
And I want to see you on stage. That sounds incredible.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, next October.
All right. Thank you very much. Alex Moustakas, the artistic director for Drayton Entertainment. I can't wait to see what he has in store for 2018. Thank you for joining me this morning on the Jennifer Campbell Show. I'm Lisa Drew filling in. And we'll take a break for the news. And then we have some guy named Mike Farwell with the Mike Farwell Show coming up. Have a great week.